It's still wintertime here in Los Angeles, and while many parts of the northern hemisphere is covered in snow, I figured it was a good day to get some sun and go for a hike. For those interested, this park is called Serenia in Woodland Hills and has some nice wooded areas, grassy lawns, and secluded trails. But be careful for the snakes. They have those here too. With Valentine's Day having passed several days ago, I've been getting some requests to speak about its origins, which stretch back into pre-Christian times. Lupercalia was a pagan festival in ancient Rome, observed annually on February 13 to 15, which involved bloody, violent, and sexually charged, drug-fueled religious orgies, awash with animal sacrifice, random carnal matchmaking, and other occult rituals which involved various methods of divination, sex magic, and initiations into the ancient mystery school religion. The men traditionally sacrificed a goat and a dog, then whipped the bare-naked women with the hides of the animals they had just slain. Young women would line up for the men to hit them, and by young I mean underage by our modern standards. This ritual also included a matchmaking lottery in which men drew the names of women from a jar, and the couple would then be coupled up for the duration of the festival, and if things went well, the relationship lasted much longer, if the match was right. The name came from the Roman god Lupercus, who was said to have helped the she-wolf take care of Romulus and Remus, but it actually is patterned after the Greek god Pan. Dionysus is closely associated with Pan. In Greek religion and mythology, Pan is the god of nature and the wild, shepherds and flocks, flute music, and companion of the nymphs. He was depicted as being half human while having the legs and horns of a goat. Pan hailed from the region in Greece known as Arcadia. They referred to it as the land that existed before the moon, and thought of it as the home of the first Greeks. Pan was associated with sex from the very beginning, the patron of what has come to be known as panic sex, sex for the sake of physical satisfaction. Pan was not the god of love, but the god of lust. The ancient Greeks believed that instant gratification and living in the moment was exciting, but it came with a price. The origins of the panpipes can be found in his failed conquest of a nymph named Syrinx. The music of the Syrinx was known to make people dance and lower their inhibitions. It was said that when Pan played his Syrinx, he could drive people mad with its music. The sound of the Syrinx filled people with the lustful nature of Pan, and as a result, they often lost control.
Pan, Pan, Greek god Pan, one half goat, the other half man.
Pan's zodiac sign is that of Capricorn, the goat, an animal that has a lot of sexual potency that has in later times been converted into Satan, which means adversary. Satan, as a force, manifests as all of the animal appetites that we have within, in the body and mind as well. So those defects that we call anger, lust, pride, vanity, laziness, etc., are all considered animal attributes or impulses that we should overcome or subdue, that is, we must conquer the animal aspect in order to transform the animal nature into a divine nature, or to enter into the kingdom of heaven. In other words, from a Gnostic interpretation of the myths, we have to conquer Pan, we have to conquer Satan, the mechanical forces of nature represented in that horny adversary, which is not outside somewhere externally, but lives inside every one of us. Which brings us to the moon. In the study of alchemy or in occult mystery schools, the sun is regarded as masculine because it gives off light rays, whereas the moon does not emit any light of its own but reflects the sun's rays, and therefore is regarded as a symbol for the divine feminine, a female archetype representing a higher refined state of enlightenment, or intuition, a sixth sense. It is through the southern gate of the sun, represented by the goat of Mendes, that Prometheus carried the serpent fire, the path to the lunar goddess of enlightenment. It is the zodiac sign of the goat during the ancient festivities, now most commonly associated with Christmas, the winter solstice, a time of resurrection after a fall since long before the Christian era. In many esoteric interpretations of these ancient myths, the spilled semen is regarded as a great loss of spiritual vitality equated to death, where the mystery is how to manipulate this orgasmic energy rather than expel it. In other words, circulate it up the spine to other chakra or endocrine centers, stimulating them and refining this energy into a creative potential, or described to some as a spiritual bliss that can last for many hours. In the late 5th century, Pope Galatius I eliminated the pagan celebration of Lupercalia and declared February 14 a day to celebrate the martyrdom of St. Valentine instead. Although it's highly unlikely he intended the day to commemorate love and passion. In fact, some modern biblical scholars warn Christians not to celebrate Valentine's Day at all, since it's thought to be based on pagan rituals. Yet, the holiday is still popular in modern times and uses some of Lupercalia's symbols, intentionally or not, such as the color red, which represented a blood sacrifice during Lupercalia, and the color white, which signified the milk used to wipe the blood clean, and is thought to represent new life and procreation. Which brings us to another celebrated symbol for love, or more specifically, love's most universally accepted symbol, the one we most commonly associate with a heart. This shape, however, with its round top and pointy end, doesn't really resemble the organ it is said to represent. So what is the origin of this symbol? There are plenty of theories about where the heart shape came from, ranging from a Catholic saint's divine hallucinations to a bad organ description by Aristotle. Another belief has the symbol originating from the shape of leaves, typically ivy leaves, as the Greeks associated ivy with the god Dionysus, the god of passion, wine, and other sensual rituals and activities. To get to the bottom of this mystery, we need to go to ancient North Africa, to a place called Cyrene, an ancient Greek and later Roman city near present-day Shahat, Libya. It was the oldest and most important of the 5 Greek cities in the region, founded in 631 BC and abandoned in the 4th century. It was founded and named by Apollo, after a Thessalian princess in Greek mythology, a region of Greece which used to be known as Aeolia, as it appeared in Homer's Odyssey. As the myth goes, she was tending to her father's sheep one day when a lion attacked one of them. She wrestled it to the ground, and Apollo, seeing her do this, fell in love with her and took her to Africa, where she then ruled the fertile and rich land. In another account, a monstrous lion had terrorized the citizens greatly, so Apollo brought Cyrene to get rid of the beast, which she did, and as with many myths involving troublesome dragons and serpents, some interpretations have the animal as a symbolic representation of a certain tribe or race, but I will elaborate on that in a future video. For now, I'll just say that she succeeded in subduing the lion and was given a kingdom to rule. The name Cyrene means sovereign queen, and the crop that was most famously grown in her land was silphium, which once grew in Cyrene in abundance and was described to be a type of giant fennel with crunchy stalks and small clumps of yellow flowers. From its stem and roots, it emitted a pungent sap that Pliny the Elder called amongst the most precious gifts presented to us by nature. Exports of the plant and its resin made Cyrene the richest city on the continent at the time. It was so valuable, in fact, that Cyrenians began printing it on their money. Silver coins from the 6th century BC are imprinted with images of the plant's stalk, a thick column with flowers on top and leaves sticking out, and its seed pods, which look like this. According to Pliny, it was a kind of cure-all, used to treat everything from chills to fevers to corns. Best of all, he wrote, quote, "It is never productive of flatulency." Hippocrates said it could be used as a poultice or to soothe the stomach. Cooks also used the plant in their recipes, perhaps the same way we use fennel seeds today. In classical antiquity, its uses included as a seasoning, perfume, as an aphrodisiac, or as a medicine, and more specifically, it was most famously used as a type of birth control. According to the historian John Riddle in his book Eve's Herbs, A History of Contraception and Abortion in the West, quote, "Anecdotal and medical evidence from classical antiquity tells us that the drug of choice for contraception was silphium." John Riddle also describes another, more explicit Cyrenian coin of, quote, "A seated woman with silphium at her feet while one hand touches the plant and the other points to her reproductive area." Silphium was so critical to the Cyrenian economy that most of their coins bore a picture of the plant itself. The Minoans and ancient Egyptians developed a specific glyph to represent the silphium plant. It was used widely by most ancient Mediterranean cultures. The Romans, who mentioned the plant in poems or songs, considered it worth its weight in denarii, which were silver coins, or even gold. Legend said that it was a gift from the god Apollo. The ancient physician Ceraunus suggested taking a dose of silphium the size of a chickpea once a month both prevented conception and destroyed any already existing. In his poem, Catullus wrote that he wanted to share as many kisses with his beloved as the number of Libyan sands that lie in the silphium-bearing Cyrene. The exact identity of silphium is unclear, and today ancient silphium is likely extinct, commonly believed to have been a flowering plant that was part of the carrot family. Some of the speculation about the cause of its extinction rests on a sudden demand for animals that grazed on the plant for some supposed effect on the quality of the meat. That said, it is more commonly said that demand for its contraceptive use and over-harvesting was likely to be the real reason leading to its extinction around the 2nd century BC. Pliny the Elder reported that the last known stalk of silphium found in Cyrenaica was given to the Emperor Nero as a curiosity. Gradually, the heart came to be depicted in red, a color that is also a symbol of passion and love, and was associated with the divine feminine power. The inverted triangle also symbolizes the water element, which makes the heart a sign of intuition, psychic perception, affection, and love. Of course, all of the major religious holidays appropriated by the Roman Catholic Church existed before any of the Abrahamic religions did themselves, meaning the two solstices, the two equinoxes, and the four periods in between them, which in neo-paganism or Wiccan philosophies are known as the Eight Sabbats, some of which are called Yule, Ostara, Beltane, and Samhain. I've included a link in the description to a video I made called Origins of Sacred Holidays and Their Occult Meaning for those interested in learning more about this topic. My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. My published work is available on Amazon as well as through various other major book outlets. They make a great gift. If you'd like to support my work, you could do that through patreon.com. There should be a link in the description section for those that are interested. I appreciate it. Thank you. Please hit the like button and subscribe for future updates. As always, I look forward to reading your comments, so please leave me your thoughts below. Please have a wonderful weekend, and I hope to see you again soon.